This morning we were thinking about the living hope that we have. And I said then that tonight we'll be looking at the theme of the living God. So let's turn to Matthew 22 and we'll read the passage where Jesus refers to the experience we've just read of Moses, an unexpected experience when Moses was leading the sheep out to the furthest part of the desert, and he saw the bush that burned without consuming the bush, and God spoke to him. Now Jesus refers to that then in his answer to the Sadducees. So Matthew 22, verse 23. The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second brother died, and the third, right down to the seventh. And then last of all, the woman herself died. Now, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they had all married her." Jesus replied and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.'" Now, when the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Verse 32 is our text then. "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Well, let's ask God to speak to us then. Lord our God, we thank you that we can turn to your word again. And as we thought this morning, we want your word to dwell richly in our hearts. Lord, the theme of today is thanksgiving. And Lord, we give thanks to you again this evening in our songs. Lord, we give thanks to you in our praise. But we also give thanks to you in the way that we receive your word and then live it out in our lives. So Lord, we ask you to bless us and to speak to us and to enable us to know that word of God dwelling richly in our hearts. So hear our praise then, in Jesus' name, amen. I want us to understand this evening what is meant when we read in verse 32, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." But let me say right at the start that this is such a profound statement about the character of God that we won't fully, or even to an extent that satisfies us, we won't really get to grips with this text. I feel that this description of God is beyond me. It's beyond my abilities to put into words. I think I can grasp it, glimpse it, but then I don't think I can really communicate it. This is such a profound statement about God. And what we've said to ourselves now for a long time is that our view of God is the basis for everything. As a church, everything comes down to our understanding of God. As a Christian, what matters is your understanding of God. How you're going to live in the week to come is all a matter of how you understand God. So what we have here is a very fundamental and a very wonderful statement about God. So what I want to do is I want to approach the statement by seeing where the problem lies. And Jesus says twice in his answer to the Sadducees where their problem is. Then I want us to notice how the Sadducees think. And it's quite interesting because you and I think just like these Sadducees. We are no different to them in the way that we look at life and the way that we look at God and the way we try to make sense of things. So let's take a look at that. And then we'll try to look at this statement. It's an amazing statement. It's right at the foundation of the nation of Israel. It's the most important event in Moses' life when he meets with God and God says to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So let's look then where the problem lies. So you can see in verse 29, and it's there again in verse 31. Jesus said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Now, we could do ourselves a power of good if we only looked at that verse. All our problems, the challenges to our faith, the struggles we have, the doubts that we experience, can all be traced to these two things in verse 29. We don't know the scriptures. And it's quite interesting because the word there, know, it means to be under an illusion. So you think you know something, whereas in fact you don't. And that's what Jesus begins in his reply to the Sadducees. They think they know, because what are they doing earlier on? Well, look at verse 24, and what they're actually doing is they're quoting Moses. So they're quoting Moses, who gave instructions about keeping the family name. And that's why if a brother died without having children, his younger brother would then marry the same woman and raise children in his name. It was about keeping the family name going throughout the generations. Now, some of you will know why. Why is it that it was important to the Israelites to keep the family name going? Can you think of the reason? So the firstborn son would have this duty to keep the family name going down the generations. And the reason is God had made a promise. And his promise was that no name would ever be lost in the history of Israel. So in New Testament terms, it's about election. And it's about the idea that God writes your name in the book of life and your name can't be removed. So that's the theology behind why you'd have your brother marrying your wife and raising children in your name. Now, the Sadducees completely misunderstood that, and instead they thought they'd found a problem. They thought they had been able to catch God out and disprove God and disprove faith in God. So you and I then, we are living in a day where the most profound reason for spiritual problems is a lack of our understanding of the Bible. And whatever spiritual challenges you might fear, whatever you're worried about, we can so often say the reason is we haven't really understood what the Bible teaches. And then look at the next part of the verse. And there's an amazing statement there, isn't there, verse 29? He says that the problem of the Sadducees is they've never really understood the power of God. Now, amazing statement again. They don't really understand their Bibles, but neither do they really understand the power of God. What can God do? What problems can God solve? How can God work? And I think it's the same for us in our challenges as a church. We do not know the power of God. What is God able to do? Is it a problem to God? What you imagine problems to be, are they problems to God? And of course the answer is no. But we know the answer is no if we know the power of God. So here's Jesus then doing this wonderful work that he does. He's like a physician carving up a patient, finding where the problem lies. And he's saying to these Sadducees, your ignorance is down to two things. You don't know the Bible and you don't know the power of God. In your own experience, you've never really found these two things. And having started there, Jesus goes on to speak to them about what it is they need to understand. Now, what I want you to notice secondly then, we're seeing where the problem lies, but look at what we find with these Sadducees. Starting at verse 24 and right down to verse 27, we can identify these men thinking in a way that is so typical of the way that we think. What they do then in verse 24 down to verse 27 is they show Jesus that they think in terms of the past and of the present and of the future. Now, isn't that how you and I think? We think about the past, then we think about the present, and then we think about the future. So let me show you how these men do that. From verse 25, they are talking about the past. There was a man among us. Now, was he really among them, do you think? There was a man among us. There were seven brothers. The first of whom, this man among us, married a woman. So there's the past. And then, of course, what these Sadducees do is they go further into the past by talking about Moses and the book of Leviticus and what Moses said. So their thinking starts in the past. Now, can I ask you, just to carefully now reflect, how often do we do the same? We start with the past. Something has happened in the past. Or we think about the past and we imagine the past as a much better place than the present now is. In a few weeks' time, we're going to have a Monday evening meeting in which we look at the Reformation. And I hope you'll be able to come. 500 years since Martin Luther. We've referred to him throughout the year. And we are looking into the past. And we always do this, don't we? We are used to thinking about the past, what it was like, what happened, what somebody said, who was alive, who's not alive now. And we're always talking about the past. So here's these men coming up to Jesus, talking about the past. And then verse 24 is the present. Here they are on this particular occasion. We don't know much about when it is. Verse 23, they come to him and ask. So this is what they're doing in the present. They're coming with their question. They're coming to disprove the resurrection. They're coming to show Jesus that the Bible has made a mistake, that it's faulty theology to talk about the resurrection. But there they are in the present, coming to Jesus. And then right at the end, verse 27, I think, or verse 28, they're talking about the future. And they're talking about the resurrection. And they're trying, thinking themselves to be very clever, they're trying to show Jesus that they are the people who have been able to prove that there's no such thing as the resurrection. By their clever arguments, they think that they've been so wise, they can disprove the resurrection. So, future. Now, I'm sure you recognize that all of us do this. We think about the past, and we think about the present, and then we think about the future. So, As a church, we often think about our past, and we think about the past ministers of the church. And on a Sunday, when I go up to put the hymn numbers up behind me, you always have a look around and you can see how many seats there are, and come to mind then what it would have been like in the past when these seats were occupied and there were people here more than us. We think about the past. And then we come to the present, don't we? And we think about the present. How few we are. How weak we are. And then our thoughts go to the future. What will we be like in 5 years? What's going to happen to me in 5 years? What will my future be like? This is how we think as human beings. Now, if you can recognize that, we are ready now to look at what Jesus says in verse 32. So, make sure now you're ready to engage with this verse. Human beings, Sadducees, us, we are always thinking in terms of the past, the present, and the future. Now, come to verse 32. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. What I hope you now see is that you must never think of God in terms of the past and the present and the future. That's not how we approach God. Thinking our spiritual questions, trying to live by faith, reading our Bibles, we must not think of God as past or present or future in this way that we tend to do as human beings. Now, I really hope if you forget everything else, let's not forget this, because this is really hugely important. Do you remember what I said at the start? Our view of God is the basis for all that we do. Our lives are based on how we understand God. So we are not to think of God as somewhere back in the past. That somehow God is in the 16th century, or God is in the 18th century. We are not to think of God as someone who was in 1904, or that God was somebody who in the 1950s or the 1960s did great things. We are not to shut God out by putting him into the past. Now, I want to be a little bit sensitive now. I want to also say to you, you must stop thinking of God in your own past. Now, some of you do this. You talk about when you became a Christian, as if nothing has happened to you since then. As if that's all that God has ever done for you. Was way back, 40, 50 years ago. God does not belong to the past. Now, this is so important. Whether we are thinking of ourselves as Christians, whether we are looking at our congregation, whether we are looking at our nation. So many of us here, I don't know if all of us do, but some of us know a little bit about our nation's history. And we'll talk about the great preachers of the past, or we'll talk about some of the great Christians and what they did in the 19th century. And the great danger is God gets lost and we consign him to the past. As if God, somehow or other, is fixed in some past moment and he's no longer with us. We must not think about God in the past. And let me be careful with the next point. In the present, then, how are you thinking about God? How have you been thinking about God over the past week? So if you've managed to think about God, if you've managed to pray, where is God in your thoughts, in this present moment? Where does he seem to us tonight as a congregation? Where do we feel God is? And so often, we have the sense that God is not in the present. That he's not here with us. That he's not listening to us. That he's not blessing us. That God somehow has stepped back from us. Yes, we know that God lives. We know that God hears. But our sense is, our feeling is, our faith seems to say to us that God is distant. He's absent. He's stepped back from this present moment. And of course, you and I, when we think about the future, what we say to ourselves is, well, yes, there is a future. We talked about it this morning. It's our inheritance. God is guarding it. But as we think of the future, we can so often think that God is going to do something in the future, even if he doesn't do it now. And we can think big. We can think about the big future. But what about my future? Will God answer my prayers in the future? Will God bless us in the future? So what I want you to see, and I'm really trying hard to make you see it, we must challenge the way we think about God. We must challenge any idea we have that God is in the past, that God is not with us in the present, and that somehow or other, yes, on the big stage, there's a future, but when it comes to me, or when it comes to us, we are not sure about the future. If we can see this, let's come back then to verse 32. I am. Do you remember the significance of I am? The burning bush, the flame of fire, that great revelation to Moses. I am. Now, there's no more wonderful words to use of God than I am. And then Jesus quotes, I am the God of Abraham. And he doesn't just then say, does he, of Isaac. He says, the God of Isaac. And then finally, the God of Jacob. Now, I'm hoping you're getting just a glimpse of what this truth is telling us. The I am is the God of every generation. You and I today, God is the I am for you as much as he has been the God of I am for every generation. God is the God of the living and not the God of the dead. So God is as present here, God is with us now, as God has ever been in any generation, in any place, at any time with any of his people, we have God as much as God has ever been at any time with any of his people in any place throughout the history of the church. Now, do you get that sense? So if you know your Bibles, and if you know the power of God, you are worshipping a God. You are believing in a God. We are meeting together in the name of the Son of God, the God who parted the Red Sea, the God who raised Jesus from the dead. He is the same God here with us as he has ever been. This is a great challenge, I hope, to our view of God. Sometimes we think, don't we, that we never admit it, but we think perhaps God is moving away. You know, he's blessing Mongolia, or he's blessing China, or he's working in Bangladesh. And you see, what we are doing there is we are thinking about God in terms of past and present. Now, can you see that? So David spoke this morning about Moldova, and we often have missionaries, and we hear about what God is doing. And the minute you then think, oh, God is working over there, but he's not working here, you have separated God into past and present. In the present, he's working in China. In the past, he worked with us, and he blessed us, and he filled this building with people. But that's in the past. But now, the present God, he's moved elsewhere. He's turned east. He's working in different parts of the world. We are not to think of God as past, present, future in the way we think of other things. So here's the main idea. Our God is the same God. Our God is our God now, as he's ever been, as he always will be. What he's done before, he's the same God who is able to do now. That's our God. And in a few weeks' time, we'll be looking at what God did 500 years ago through one man, Martin Luther. Now, that will be a waste of time unless we say to ourselves, this is our God now. And if he can change the world through one man, then this same God who is our God, what is he able to do now? What can we be confident of? What can we hope for? What can we expect? He is the God who is present as God with every generation. Now that's the faith that you and I need to be having in God. This is the sense we need of who God is. If we know our Bibles and we know his power, then you and I can say, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, we can say, I am the God of Neil. I am the God of Tabernacle. I am the God of the church in this place, in this century. The same God of power, and the same God of might, and the same God of love and wisdom. The same God is our God in our day. Well, let's finish with this verse with what Jesus says. Lastly, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now, again, all I can do is just say a little bit about this. You and I think in terms of death. Now, there's no way I'm talking a lot on a Sunday night about the subject of death. I just think it's not easy. I remember 25 years ago at the marriage of somebody I know, somebody who comes to this church, I was the organist. He'd asked me to be the organist for that day. And playing the organ in this particular church, not over there in the corner, but one of the pipe organs up the top, I would stay there doing the sermon. And the minister's sermon was death. Now, I think you need to be very careful about the subject of death. But all I want to say to you is this. God is not the God of the dead. We think of death. We think in terms of death. We think of things ending. Someone has died. Their life has come to an end. They are no longer with us. We tend to think, don't we, that not Christians now perhaps, but we think about that death. It's the end. There's nothing after death. Now, just look at this phrase. And it's so big, and it's so mind-blowing, there is no death with God. God does not think in terms of death. So you and I think about death. You and I think that somebody isn't with us. They've gone. But God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. Now, it means what we've said already. He's our God now. He's the present God. He's the God with us. He's the God who's here. He's the God who's now. That's what it means. But it has a truth. It has a meaning that goes beyond our own understanding of what death is. I won't say more about it. Perhaps we'll talk about it again. God is the God of the living. Now, we really do need to encourage ourselves. We need to encourage ourselves on a Monday when we pray. When we pray, do we know the power of God? What God can do. And do we believe that the God who can do these things is the living God present with us, our God, as much as he's ever been the God of his people? He is the God who, through the resurrection of his Son, says there is no death. I am the God of the living. Let's hold on to that view of God. Let's pray. Lord, we do tend to think of you in terms of past, present, future, because that's how we are used to thinking. Lord, we also are used to thinking about death, that somehow death is the end. Lord, we really do need to change how we understand you. The I am, the God of the living, our God, the God of power, the God who is here with us, the God who has our name in his heart. Hear our praise then. Continue with us. In Jesus' name, amen.